Okay, I believe we're on page Pei Aleph. Yeah, we just started talking about the rose. We said just like a rose, its smell is inseparable from its power of growth. So we say that's the same thing for a Jew. All right, I think we can stop at the top, start at the top of Kuf Pei Aleph again. Ke'ein zehi b'chinas Yisrael. So too, this is the aspect of a Jewish person. That a Jewish person has the fragrance that's called a Jew. And that's where he had that whole story with the Divrei Chaim, how he smelled the clothes of the priest that the Jew had worn to save a person's life. Gam chiyus gufo kodeshi. The life of his body is holy too. Everything of him is holy. But when we call makom ben adam hu, but he's still a human being. And that's the contrasting aspects of the human being. Chamosha teva gufa lo nishtano mi teva gufe she'or b'nei adam v'gam hu kamohem. Even though the nature of his body, of a Jewish body, doesn't change from the nature of a body of any human being, and he appears to be like them, ochel v'shoseh, he eats and he drinks. The difference is, though, rak she'achiloso shtiyoso v'chol mahuso yoser zochu. But his eating and his drinking and his whole essence is much purer. That's they explained, for example, when Hashem blessed Avram, and Hashem said to Avram, Parshas Lech Lech, he said, Ve'yei bracha. So this, the meaning most people learn is that you'll be able to have the power of giving a blessing. But it also means, Ve'yei bracha, and you will be a blessing. In essence, you are a blessing. You are in a blessed state. So, even though we eat like it, we do put food in our mouth. That's true. And a non-Jew puts food in his mouth, and a Jew puts food in his mouth. But it's much purer. Another thing we have to say is that we can't say that even intellectually the Jew, which that comes from the Neshama, that there isn't some kind of dependence in the activities of the body. Meaning the mind is not independent from the body. And no matter how great that Neshama is, and that's able to make you think unbelievable thoughts, but we can't separate from the body. What do we mean? If God forbid your head is hurting, it will also be understood in the neshama level. And, you're not able to learn so well. You just can't learn so well. But since neshama does rest on the brain, on the body, and it depends on it, and if the brain is hurting, even though in the soul level, nothing can harm the soul, there's nothing wrong with the soul, the neshama is fine. However, but the connection between the brain and his neshama has been damaged. Right? You have a very holy neshama. It's capable of giving you all kinds of unbelievable connections to Hashem. But the only way you, as human being, can come into that neshama is via the moach, via your brains. And if your brains are damaged, or you have a big, giant migraine headache, there's no way that you could tap into that neshama, even though the neshama is 100% fine. So we can't say that your soul is totally independent from the body. It is in and of itself, but in terms of you being able to interact with your neshama, it's very dependent on your body. This is explaining the fact that there's an aspect of human being inside the Jewish person. He's showing this interdependence that exists, that even if we're saying you're a holy Jewish person, but you still have a body. And we can't ignore the fact that there's a body there. And therefore, what do we have to do? Lochein, im rotzi vano lahalos as ha'adam ha'yisrael l'kach, if we want to elevate the Jewish person and sanctify him, lo dailanu ma'ashe dibarnu be'inyan hishtalshus ha'yisrael l'shay lo levad. It's not enough which we spoke about in the last essay about the evolution of the Jewish soul that comes from the highest places. Yes, we can all agree to that. But rak shrikam l'daber gam b'filus ha'adam asher bo uv'afanei ha'sagoso. But we have to talk about the pi'ilus ha'adam, the human functions, which are within the human being, and the ways that a Jew can achieve connection to the highest souls. L'man yeda ech lokachas es resen ha-memshala gamalem. In order to know how to take the harness of dominion of the spiritual level, gamalem, even upon them, even upon the spiritual powers. And to get the body to be engaged in holy activities. And to guide them, and to force the body. To make the body accept the lights that are coming from all the levels of soul and from all the worlds. You gotta find a way to make the body do that. And that's what we mentioned on Sunday. The Slonim Rebbe says, shot in the bracha shelo asani goy. That the bracha is not merely that you did not make me a non-Jew, but a Jew has to look at himself every day when he makes the bracha and says, okay, I'm taking a look at myself. Is my head thinking like a goy? Do I think like a goy? You think like a goy? Then, you know, then there's a, you have a problem with that bracha. Hashem made me that I don't have any goyishkeit inside me. And I have to make sure I'm clean from that goyishkeit. Are my hands acting like a goy? Is this part? Every part of my body has to not walk, talk, think like a goy. Right? And most of us do think like a goy. And we act like a goy. And we do a lot of things like a goy. So you made a bracha, Hashem, you didn't make me a goy, but I still act like a goy. The whole thing is you didn't make me a goy because I have a bechinas Yisraeli. I have a nefesh Yisraeli that's totally different than everything else. And every part of my body should act totally different than a goy. So we gotta figure out ways to make this body, where the body per se appears to be very similar to a non-Jewish body and can very well act just like a non-Jew if we don't connect in the right places. How are we gonna get it to connect to these higher places? That's what this second essay has to deal with. And that's really the guts of everything here. Yes, there were some hands, yeah?
The neshama
leaves the body, but for a certain time it will hover around the body. But basically the neshama's out of there.
But we said that without the body, the neshama can't function. I
mean, the person's dead, so what do you... Can't function here. Neshama can't function on planet Earth without a body. It needs an address. So remember, the neshama came from Shemayim, came from the Kisei HaKavod, came from the throne of glory. It was okay up there. So to bring a soul into planet Earth, the soul must have a direct address in which it's sent, and that's a living human body.
But it means, if I understand it correctly, that the neshama, when it's leaving the body, it has a different purpose than when it's...
The body's dead now, finished. It goes into the ground and has to go through reconstruction.
So the purpose of the neshama is the same purpose, I mean the same task, the same goal.
I can't go over all of Lutzada 101 now. Okay? You know, Hashem created a human being that's made up of a soul and a body. Together that is the human being. And the free will choices that the human being makes while he is a body and soul, that determines what the essence of that person is. Okay? And when God says, I no longer want the body and soul to be together, that's the end of the human being's productivity as a human being, as a chooser. And the soul now goes back to its world to strengthen itself, and the body goes into the ground to get redone and made over, and to come back when the time of the resurrection comes. And then when Mashiach comes, we put back the soul and the body, the human being gets back put together. That's what the function of the soul is. The soul and the body are both tools to create the human being. I'm not going to go over all this stuff. You're going to ask me, I'm not going to go over that. I can't go over that so many times. Yeah?
Will you be defining what that means when a hand acts like a goy? Will you be defining what that means or what?
Goyim put their hands in places they're not supposed to be. Okay, I don't have to be explicit.
Because I put my hand, but my hands act, I mean, the fingers physically, they act the same way.
But their hands intuitively want to go to mitzvahs. Somehow your hands, in the middle of davening, are going like this, all the time. All goys doesn't. Somehow a goy's fingers very adept at flicking channels on a television set and playing and being skillful in Game Boy Advance. While Yiddish hands are good at making challahs, are good at holding lots of babies. And their hands are never free because they're always holding a baby or a grandchild. That's what a Jewish hand is used to doing. A goyish hand's got leidika hands, got hands got nothing to do. So I gotta learn how to change channels, flip my Game Boy. I got a lot of skill to do that, right? That's a very big skill to play Game Boy. And even adults have to play Game Boy, right?
So the hand has its own sense of
the hand, yes. It's a Jewish hand. There's Jewish DNA in your fingertips. That are that's what we said already a few times. It's dying to do the things that a Jew's supposed to do, and not the goyisha things it's supposed to do. Right? A non-Jewish ear loves to hear lashon hara. A Jewish ear only wants to hear Torah. That's, you know. But the fact that you're a body, you could fall into the same trap and have the Jewish ear listen to lashon hara. It can happen. You're totally. That's all the stories we said yesterday. Were you here yesterday? We said all the stories. All those stories are all that. The body senses a different reality. If we're in touch, if you let the body get in touch with the neshama, then it's able to mamish, express it. But otherwise, it could lay dormant because you're not expressing it. Okay, let us continue. Bottom of the paragraph of Kuf Pei Aleph. Es advarim ayoser Elohim shein chushei aguf masigam, and the higher, loftier things that the senses of the body cannot apprehend. They're not informed to the person. Anyway, it's very, very lofty ideas, real, really big spiritual ideas. Yesh mehem shemasig besichlos. Some can understand them with their intellect. Abstract ideas. Let's start with abstract. Abstract ideas, you know, which you can't really see and touch, but you know mentally you can conceptualize them. Avokat didactic, but if you really think about it, here you're going to see. Shesechol adam besoch adam lo masik shum dover ruchani velo yirehu rak misharoso. That the intellect of a person, inside of a person, really isn't able to truly understand anything spiritual, and he can't see it. All the human mind can do is misharoso, can estimate it, can guess, can imagine. Not just spiritual things that are beyond him. You know, like malachim. Okay, what's a malach? Okay, tell me, describe a malach to me. Well, I can estimate it. That's a spiritual force. It's middle management of Hashem. We talk about it, but come on. Define it. Tell me what it looks like. How much does it weigh? Oh, it doesn't weigh. It's not physical. So then how does it do what it does? Oh, I don't know. But we can only estimate it. But the truth is, and that's really spiritual things, right? And not only those things, even spiritual things that are enclosed in this world. And you can see how those spiritual things are acting in this world. You still can't see and know what they are. Rak. Misharasov. Again, you can only estimate it. We're in Kuf Pei Beis. Avakoyches asher ba'olam lo yuchal rak l'sharas mitziosam. The forces of the world. We can only estimate the reality. Ech lishtavishem lo yoser. How to use them and not more than that. He's going to give examples for all this now, so I'll explain what he means. But he's going to say there's phenomena in this world that you see them happening in front of your eyes and you have no idea what really is going on. And he gives a number of examples. He's just trying to show you right now on the next page how there are things that is beyond the human mind to really know. We can estimate, we can guess, we have an idea, and our ideas are not wrong, but they're not zoned in with a pinpoint accuracy of correctness.
We are not meant to know.
I didn't say we're not meant to know. I didn't say we're not meant to know. We're not capable with our minds alone, but there's other means that a Jew has that others don't have. That we're going to get to. So let's look at some examples. That's a whole page, all the way to the bottom until the next page. It's just examples of this. For example, Gimieda ha'adam mahu kocha elektri. Does a person really know what an electrical current is? Can you see an electrical current? Do you know what it is? Even though he uses it at will, I know one thing, my electric bill is very big every month. I use a lot of electricity. I know how to use electricity. It's called flicking on a switch, putting on the microwave oven. I know how to use electricity. I use that. But koachu asher bara Hashem. But really, it's a force that God created. Shishir Adam, that man is able to estimate what it is. Umetzon, he finds it. Shiyeshno. V'lo yos, but not more than that. He can harness electricity, but he doesn't know what electricity is. He doesn't know what it is. Umikol shekei b'inyan nefashos, all the more so regarding souls, avshalom, that are in the world. For example, shekol echad yodea sheyeshna nefesh hatzomacha shetzimtzem v'os Hashem v'hi miskala v'alfe mini hatzomech v'olam. There's something called the life force of plant growth, nefesh hatzomachas, that got constricted and constrained, and he made it happen in this world. And it's revealed through thousands of difference of plants in this world. V'chol min in every species, birvavos, ein mispar ishe tzmachas, and there's different types of plants within each of the thousands of species. They all exist, right? There is something that makes grass grow. Oh, we're gonna say it's, what do you call it, photosynthesis. Okay, have you seen a photosynthesis?
Yeah,
you know, I see what it's happening, something with the sunlight and inside the leaf, clay, something's going
chlorophyll,
something's going on over there. You know, but do you really know it? Do you really see the force happening? Can you reproduce that for me, please? Go into a room now and make a plant grow. Do it. Here, what do you want? What do you want? And go create photosynthesis. I mean, you know, create the essence of it. Even with electricity, I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, how do we make electricity? How do you make electricity? I believe me, I wish I paid more attention to my basic science classes in grade 8 and 9. You know, but you can reproduce it in certain ways, but you can't create the essence of the electricity. You can't create the essence of electricity. You have to take other things, and the other things really make the electricity. And you really don't know why it happens. You know that it happens, and you can reproduce an electric current. You take a wire, you take a battery, and you're gonna go, even if I can make the battery. But what makes this happen? Why does this happen? That we can't know. We can't understand how the essence of these plants changes than somewhere else. Right? Where am I now? And similarly, I did the life force in animals and birds. All those winged things. Does a person with his intellect know they're interested in the souls? What makes the soul of a bird make it into a bird and the soul of a fish make it into a fish? But he knows clearly that it has to be there. Because from that time he sees what Hashem created in the world. Only in these ways does he make them another way. How is it that there's this life force that makes a fish a fish? Why doesn't a cow give birth to a dog? Why not? It's random. Right? You know, why every time it's, and what's in those? But there's a life force. It's the same life force. How's this life force of a dog different than a cat? All these things different. Each subcategory.
Species.
Like species. Each species watches its species that should be maintained. Let's say these creepy and crawly things at the end of the summer, what do they do before they die? They lay an egg in a protected place or in a crack in some kind of branch. So that it should survive over the winter and come into the next summer. But from the original creeping, crawling thing, there isn't even a speck of dust remaining. But new insects are going to come out of them the next season. Okay, who taught the butterfly to lay its eggs? exactly in the right place, so the cocoon would come echveis and all those things going. Where's the logic to that? You see it's happening. You see phenomena like that. But what makes that phenomena happen? There's got to be something that makes that phenomena. But we don't know what it is. We said, kaka, that's what it is. I'm a biologist. I've watched it a million times, and I know it's true. Thank you. Okay, how? Why? Or, you know, other examples. You know, you have the salmon, right? The journey of the salmon, right? Wherever a salmon was born, right? Then it, in its younger days, it came in a little river or something. It was hatched in a river, and then it makes its way to the Pacific Ocean, right? Somewhere from this river in Iowa, I don't know where, right? And then when it knows its time is up, it's got to go all the way back, and some goes back to the exact same place it came from. Mamish, the exact same place, lays its eggs and dies, and swims up against stream. How does it do all that stuff? Where do they get the brains to do that? There's got to be some force inside. And that salmon does that unique thing. Well, that butterfly does that unique thing. And some always to perpetuate the species. Like, where does that come from? Where in the world does that come from? Right? And you know there's something, and you see it, and you marvel at it, and you understand what he's doing, but you can't explain the why it's going on that way. So there's so many things we can see with our eyes. Mamish, I can see it happening. And I know there's something which we broadly term spiritual. It's beyond the physical that is happening here. But I have no way of explaining it. I have no way of understanding it. You know, so forget about angels. We don't even understand the world we're living in. We have no idea what's going on over there. But there's got to be reasons for that. Clearly there are reasons. Right? And if you'd ask the insect, hey, Mr. Butterfly, we want to interview you. Why are you doing this? I don't know. I don't know. But the soul from the species of the creeping, crawling things which Hashem created, which are revealed in these different species, that's what makes things happen. It pushes them to do things without them even realizing why and what they're doing. Has a person seen and does he know what this life force is? No. He estimates its reality. Because he sees what is happening. And if the forces that make life happen in this world that he can see and feel and touch, his intellect is not prepared to really understand and see the ultimate reality of them. And that's child's play. How is he going to understand things that are really spiritual, that are beyond this world? Are you going to understand a neshama? Are you going to understand a malach? Next page, Kufay Gimel. And how foolish are these people who try to understand spiritual things with only false knowledge, with heresy, and they're just going to fall into the pit of hell and nothing more. Right? Foolish people, they're going to figure this out. We're going to figure out how the world came into being. We're going to have our theories, you know, and we know how the world came into being. We understand all this stuff. Hey, idiots, how can you think you can understand this stuff? Right? We're going to, and therefore we come up with a concept called evolution. It's a great theory. It explains everything. You shite them. Mama, shite them. It explains everything. Explains everything except everything. It has more questions than answers. And you need more bitachon to be an atheist than to be a creationist. Because bitachon means you have to accept things that you don't understand. It makes less sense to believe in evolution. That means to believe that something got created. And that's what happens when you're going to just use your own mind. It just can't be that way. However, aval yeshna od yediyah ba'adam yoser ilamat. But there is a type of knowledge in the person that is a bit more beyond. That comes with a feeling and an elevation that comes from a little bit of the revelation of the soul. That's what he's getting to now. The soul, though, can let us know information that no brain could think of its own. We, in our low state, in our low spiritual generation, we don't have permission or even to speak about it in any intelligent way about concepts of prophecy. That are way beyond our understanding. We already explained Pshat in the Gemara that Jews are children of prophets. Meaning to say, our essence and our life force of holiness that is within ourselves, it's a spark of prophecy. So for this little spark, we could talk about. We're allowed to talk about the little spark of spark of nevius. And as we said, that's the avod of chassidus. That's the work of chassidus, to find the methods to get in contact with that spark and experience a little of that revelation. And Rabbi's going to explain to us how to reveal this. Hagamora omeris. The Gemara teaches us chacham adif minavi. A chacham is more powerful, stronger than a navi. What does that mean? I mean to say there's a quality of a chacham, a wise person, a scholar, has a certain quality that gives him an advantage over a prophet. Now, and we see, for example, there's certain things chachamim were able to tell us that prophets didn't tell us. If you look in any of the works of the Nevi'im, did they ever talk about Olam Haba? In prophecy. Discussions of Olam Haba. Not a word. Maybe hinted to, but they don't really talk about it. And the Gemara has lots and lots of pages about Olam Haba, about the world to come. Right? And as we'll see, the Navi could only see certain things, but the Chacham could go beyond what the eye can see. God lets the Navi see things people can't see. That's good. But the Chacham can know things beyond seeing. And this is what makes the Chacham on a higher level than a Navi. As he brings from the Tikkunei Zohar HaKadosh, from the Zohar, Isa Shemadregas Yenikas HaChacham Lamalam Yvedregas Yenikas HaNavihi. That the level of where the Chacham draws from, the source where the Chacham draws from, Yenikas, to draw from, is beyond the level of where the prophet draws from. V'zeh rak b'inyan madrigas ha'yenika b'marom. And that is only in regards to the levels of higher levels of places to draw from. But tzadikim asher lefanim, from tzadikim that were from before. Shachach mashalahem, that their wisdom, their wisdom comes from the highest levels of the spheros of Chachma, Bina, and Das. Me'atzilus, Bria, Shebarom. From Atzilus and Bria. That's where their intellect comes from, up there. While prophecy only comes from the lower levels of Netzach and Hod. We're not going to explain how and what, but prophets draw from lower levels of the spheros. Lower levels. Chachma Bina Das, that's way up there. That's in the higher spheres, way beyond the world of Ruach. It's way up there. Right? A Navi comes from the world of, right? If you look at he's carefully saying Atzilus Bria. Chachma can go into Atzilus and Bria, while the Navi only can go into Yetzira, because that matches Ruach HaKodesh, Spirit of Kodesh. Right? But the Chacham, he doesn't get into those worlds of Bria or Atzilus. The Chacham can get into the biggest worlds because that's where Chacham and Bina are coming from. Chacham and Bina come from higher worlds. So he taps into higher worlds than what a Navi can tap into. So us, what's so unbelievable is that we have some kind of Chachma, but our Chachma is the lowest level of Chachma. It's in the lowest world of Asiya, the lowest sphere of Malchus, which is way at the bottom. You don't have to know all these terms, just understand the idea. Even if we have such little bit, but remember, where does the end of it come from? The top comes from way up there. So a real Talmud Chacham scholar is able to employ the higher levels, and he's in touch with the higher levels. We're a speck of a speck of a speck, but we're still, it's still somehow connected to those higher levels. Kamoshi Dibarnu B'mamar HaRishon, like we talked about in the earlier essay. B'mashal Shemashpech Tzlochis Haktana Ad Sada Rachav Shabo Shemimala. We talked about the mashpech, the funnel for the bottle, right? Where the wide side is above. But Sarakotz Shal Mashpech HaGodol Shal Nori. But in the small side of the spout, of the big spout, it goes into the bottle. So there's a high, high spout. So even though we're at the tippy, tippy bottom of the funnel, but the Epsilon of the Das, Mesichlein of Achach Mesuchenu, Gamash Masigim, Onubat Smeinu, Lepon Beruach Alev, we throw us an Epsilon. And sometimes we ourselves can't explain and know intellectually, or with the wisdom of our brains, what we can feel and sense in ourselves. Sometimes with that Ruach and that heart that's elevated because of our soul, sometimes we get in contact with things and we don't even know why we're getting in contact with those kinds of things. You know, and this is an excellent example, you know, of a person, this idea of when a person feels something that he can't intellectually understand. There are times you mamish feel something, you know this is true and you don't know why it's true. Right? Just like the nefesh and the fish that drives it to do things without knowing why, so too there's a spark of nevuah in a Jew that we can't understand with our minds. It's a feeling, which is real, it's not our imagination. Now there are those kooks who it's their imagination too. But there can be real normal people who say, I got a feeling. And the Gemara says, even though they don't see it, their mazel sees it. Their higher level of neshama. It's been revealed. And you're getting a sense of what it is. And sometimes you can't explain why you decided to go to that Shabbaton. You can't explain why all of a sudden you want to act in a different way. I can't explain why that happened. But that's what happened. So there's something going on beyond. That's just the drop of 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 the chachma that a chachma is arif minavi. And that's the whole trick of life. We're trying to figure out ways to tap into that. That's what we're trying to, how can I get more in touch with that part of that neshama in me that is able to connect and to know things that the brain can't know on its own, technically. So, you know, it's interesting. The Gemara, where is it now? More above Basra. Let's just look a little bit. He's going to come back to it, so we'll do a little bit of it. Yud Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, very interesting. It says, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, and from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevuah Min HaNevim. Prophecy was taken away from the prophets, V'nitna L'Chachamim, was given over to the wise men. So the Gemara asks, Atu Chacham Lav Navi? Do you mean to say that a Chacham wasn't a Navi? It seems from the first statement is, well, there were prophets, and then it was given over to prophecy, meaning to say that there were no sages who were prophets beforehand.
It's given to the wise men.
You know, so what does that mean? A wise man never was a prophet? Can't be. So Chacham, this is what it means. Afal pi shenitla min avim, even though it was taken away from the prophets, it wasn't taken away from the Chacham. It wasn't taken away from the wise man. Meaning to say that there were Nevi'im who were not wise men. And there were wise men who were Nevi'im. They were both prophets. And what happened is, at a certain time, prophecy was taken away from the lower level of people called the Nevi'im. But it was never taken away from the Chacham. Now, you're going to say, yeah, but you said we don't have prophecy. Yeah, we don't have that kind of prophecy, which is really in a certain level, a lower level, at a certain level, because it's drawing from a lower level. But a chacham using intellect is able to reach higher levels through a gift of Hashem. And that leads us to the statement of Amar HaMemer, v'chacham odayif minavi, and a chacham is beyond a navi. And they bring a proof from a pasuk. A pasuk says, "V'navi levav chachma." The prophet has a heart of wisdom. They're comparing the navi has something of the chacham. So if the navi is being compared to the chacham, meaning the chacham is beyond the navi, right? That's what he's saying. So you see that this chachma, even though we don't have prophecy and those prophetic visions I see an almond stick coming from the north, and this means that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, people aren't seeing that. But the truth is that's a lower level than what the Chacham, who's using higher levels of intellect, is able to apprehend. And those things still exist. So we lost prophecy, yeah? You're going to tell me Rabbi Akiva wasn't an unbelievable person? All the rabbis of the Gemara, all of them, way after prophecy was closed. You can tell me, how did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai know the Zohar? He wrote it. Where'd he get it from? Where'd he get all these ideas from? These great, unbelievable rabbis, they can do unbelievable things. Every rabbi of the Gemara could resurrect the dead. Where did I get that from? Which book was that from? Right? Now, Nevi'im could do that too. Some Nevi'im. And only a couple times as I mentioned. Right? So there's unbelievable powers these rabbis had. So what we're saying is, Achacham, he's drawing from levels of existence that are beyond what any Navi could draw from. And that Achacham used to have. So let's read on. Kuf paid out. Klomer, meaning to say, Hatzadikim Asher Melifnim, that tzadikim from the old days, Shekudushasam v'oram shesharlem uvehem, that the holiness and the light that rested upon them and was in them, Hayaharbe Kedusha v'harbe, there was a lot of holiness and a lot of light. To such an extent, At shechelek ha'orem v'ho'enochi yoshalahem nismait af nisbatel, that part of the human person, the physical human person, v'hanochias, and the ego, the individuality of them, was made so small up to the point that it was negated. Meaning to say their holy spark of them was so great that they lost sense of their own separate existence as a human being. The physical body provides you with the feeling and the sense that I am separated from Hashem. Everybody here thinks you're distinctly different from Hashem and you're removed from Hashem, you're independent from Hashem. God gave you such an ego to feel that way, and to a certain extent that's helpful. But a real, really holy person realizes that's not true. And there's nothing there of me alone. I'm just all a manifestation of Hashem. And the Chachamim didn't necessarily know that this came from the world of Atzilus. They just knew that's the way it was. You know, it's unbelievable. The kind of things, you know. L'chein gam daitam lo dasa nochi shel adam hoya. Therefore, their understandings wasn't an individualized, ego-centered understanding like other people have. Rak hashra mimorim, but rather it's something that's descended from above. Chachma shel bechinas nevuah, wisdom with an attribute of prophecy. Kemo shenir shem b'gemara, as we explained in the Gemara, just showed you. You know. For example, you know, they tell a story with the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer. So Rav Chaim Tzanzer, the story was said over that there was a certain tzaddik who had a son, and he was referred to as the Gitta Yid, the good Jew, the Gitta Yid. And the Gitta Yid was a very holy person, but one thing he wasn't conversant in the Talmud and in the Poskim. He wasn't one of these, you know, like you know, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, that these guys knew Shas backwards and forwards, Shas and postgame, everything, like, it's all on the computer screen, blah, 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 you know. He's just a regular guy. He learned Gemara, but he wasn't, he was a holy man, but he wasn't sharp in Talmud. He wasn't. But man, when he would say to Tehillim, man, the sweat beads would be pouring out, and what he was rocking and rolling up in Shemayim from his Tehillim was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, right? And the Divrei Chaim, he was a genius. The Divrei Chaim was a genius. Mamash a genius. And the Git, what?
What is
Divrei Chaim? Rav Chaim Tzanzer, from Tzanz. So he loved the Gitta Yid. So, you know, Rav Chaim Tzanzer is living in the Beis Medrash, and the Gitta Yid's on the side saying his Tehillim. So Rav Chaim Tzanzer comes to a piece of Tosfos, commentary on the Gemara. It comes to a piece of Tosfos over here. He's working on that Tosfos. He doesn't understand the Tosfos. He's reading, he's breaking his head. He can't figure it out. And the Gitta Yid is saying Tehillim over there. So he goes over to the Gita Yid and says, do me a favor. Can you tell me Pshat and Tosfos? Says Rebbe, you're the genius. I can read the Tosfos. I don't even come close. He says, do me a favor. Just read it. Read the words. That's all I'm asking you to do. So first the Gita Yid says, finish up his Tehillim. Then he reads he just reads the words of the Tosfos, whatever the words were. But he reads it, with a kvetch here and a kvetch there, with a little, he doesn't even know why he's kvetching in this place. It's like, you read a sentence, but sometimes a comma and a semicolon makes a whole difference. You are not stupid. Put a semicolon after not. You are not stupid. Right? Big difference, no? You are not. Stupid. Right? So it depends on where you make the kvetch. Right? So the Gita Yid, let's give a kvetch in this place, a kvetch that way. Right there, kind of, oh! I got it now! Thank you so much for telling me Pshat and Tosfos. Right? The Gita Yid didn't even know what he was doing. But you know what? But his neshama was connected in high places. The neshama told him where to stop, where to make the stops. And then somebody else will be able to access that too. Okay, there's other stories. We'll talk more. I've got to save something for Shal Shudas. But this is telling you that the place where the Chacham gets this power, this wisdom, is from the beyond. And it's totally a gift to the person who is a Chacham. We'll talk more about this, how this happens. And this is something that we can tap into in a very, very small level ourselves. Okay. Mr. Shem will continue tomorrow.